Exodus chapter 8, where we're reading about gnats. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. Since the gnats were on people and animals everywhere, the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to EBC, the Egyptian Broadcasting Network. My name's Matt Gertler, and I'm coming to you live from the land of Egypt. We have a studio audience here for this live broadcast. As you can see, it is a hot summer's day. I'm standing here in the capital of Egypt. The pyramids should be appearing behind me any minute now as the fog clears. But to say the least, wonderful pyramids on a beautifully hot summer's day. But as you can see, it hasn't been a very pleasant time for the people of Egypt. You see, there are these people called the Israelites who are working for Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, as his slaves. And all was going very well until suddenly these people became more and more numerous, until they decided that they wanted to be let go. And obviously Pharaoh was not a very big fan of this idea, and so he didn't want to let them go. If Pharaoh let them go to serve their God, it meant that their God was more important than Pharaoh. And Pharaoh wasn't having that. Pharaoh wanted to be the most important man, so he made them work even harder. He made them stay. He would not let them go. But then a man named Moses came and warned Pharaoh that he wasn't just standing against people, but against God. Pharaoh is trying to say that he is more powerful than the God of the Israelites. And so the God of the Israelites is going to show how powerful he is by making some truly terrible things happen in Egypt. This is the headline that I'm bringing you today. I want to introduce you to the one true God. The events that have happened in Egypt show us that the God of the Israelites is the one true God. So these terrible events have been happening over the past few days. A few days ago, I went down to the River Nile to get myself a drink. And, here it is. The River Nile, all the water in it turned to blood. I definitely don't want to drink that. I'm just going to ask the studio audience, does anybody think that that's a good bit of colour for drinking water? No, I think I agree. It stinks and it's disgusting. That's all the water in the main river of Egypt. Their water source has been turned to blood. But Pharaoh was still very angry with the Israelites and he did not want to let them go. And so Moses warned of another plague. And this time, it was hundreds of frogs would invade the whole land of Egypt. And we're going to recreate that now. Has anybody got some frogs? Can you just launch the frogs towards me as fast as you can? 3, 2, 1, frogs. There we go. So many frogs. They came over the entire land of Egypt. No one could move because there were so many frogs. I don't know if you can see that at home, but there are frogs absolutely everywhere. That's what it was like a few days ago when the frogs came. But the question is, what does all this mean? So many frogs. Still, we've got more frogs coming. What does all this mean? What does this show us? And to help us, I've got one of Pharaoh's chief magicians to come and talk to us about what happened. Janice, great to see you this morning. Can you come over here a little bit? How are you doing, Janice?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm not that great. I'm really thirsty. There's limited drinking water because the river has all turned into blood. And I'm a bit tired. I didn't sleep very well because, my bed's full of frogs. So I didn't sleep very well at all. And today I'm feeling quite worried because I've heard that Moses said that there's a plague of gnats on the way today.
A plague of gnats? Are they like bugs of some sort?
Yes, I think so. Oh no, look out! Here they come now!
Oh no, I think there are lots of bugs on their way. Has anybody see any bugs? Oh no, more and more bugs. Yeah, keep going. Oh, there are so many bugs here. I don't know what to do. Janice, were you expecting? Oh dear me, bugs everywhere. Well, But wait, aren't you one of Pharaoh's magicians? Aren't you supposed to be powerful? Can't you get rid of these gnats?
Well, yes, at first we thought it was some kind of trick that Moses was playing on us, because at first everything he could do, we could do too. So he turned the river into blood and we turned the river into blood. He made lots of frogs appear and we tried to make all the frogs appear and we could make lots of frogs appear. But then we realised that we could just do the same as Moses. We couldn't actually reverse it.
That's slightly ironic. So Moses, or rather Moses' God, he brought all these frogs on the land, and you tried to show your power, but all you could do was bring more frogs. You just made it worse.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't actually a great idea, to be honest. But that's all we could do. We couldn't stop the frogs. And now with these gnats, all these bugs and flies, we've tried as hard as we can, but we just can't make them appear. So it must be the finger of God.
The finger of God? What do you mean?
Well, this Moses, he's just a man, isn't he? He can't have done it. And he's doing things that we can't even do. So there must be some kind of special power on his side. It must be God.
Wow. Well, thank you, Janice. Do go and sit down. I hope you can get rid of all the frogs from your bed, and hopefully you won't get covered in boils or anything at some point in the next few weeks. So it seems the magicians have admitted that God was involved. But which God? Is it one of the gods of the Egyptians? They had many gods, but they were all on the Egyptians' side. It would be strange if those gods would attack the Egyptians. And moreover, it actually seems that these plagues were making fun of the Egyptian gods. They worshipped the river Nile, and they worshipped the river Nile as a god, and Moses turned the river to blood. They worshipped a god that took the form of a frog, and Moses' god made the frogs turn against them. Who knows? Maybe there'll be plagues that make the Egyptian bull god look ridiculous by killing all the livestock, or a plague that would make the Egyptian sun god seem powerless by blocking out the sun and making the land go dark. I don't know whether that will happen or not. But I think the one thing that we see very clearly is that the magicians and the gods of Egypt are powerless against the God of Israel. He is the only one true God. Moses said to Pharaoh that all this happens so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And that's true. There is no one like him. He is the one true God. He is the only one who can do this. So whether you're in Israel, Egypt, or Huntingdon, we need to be amazed by this God and worship him alone. So I think there's one thing we need to ask ourselves. Do we really worship this God? What about when I'm tempted to turn away from God and think that my way is better than his? Will I live my own way, or will I worship the one true God? What about when I'd really like to get a particular person to like me and I'll act in a certain way that pleases them and not God? Or if I'm tempted to act in anger or jealousy, even though that's not what God wants? Will I do what is right, or will I worship the one true God? That's the end of our broadcast for today. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 9, verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand towards the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on people and animals and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt." When Moses stretched out his hand towards the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both people and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. As the only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. "This time I have sinned," he said to them. "The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer." Moses replied, "When I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were destroyed, since the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed, because they ripen later. Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands towards the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses.
Good morning. You joined me back in Egypt after a chaotic few days, to say the least. I came to you a few days ago saying that the river had been turned to blood, and frogs and gnats had come upon the land, and this showed us that there is no one like the Lord. He is the one true God. And today's headline is Pharaoh's hard heart, because Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, still won't let the people go. Since I've last spoken to you, we've had a plague of flies come on the land, like gnats, but a bit different. I don't really know the difference. Then all the animals belonging to the Egyptians died, and then everyone got a horrible itchy skin disease, boils on their skin. Well, we have a very special guest with us today. Please give a warm welcome to Pharaoh himself. He's here all the way from his palace. Give him a round of applause. Now, Pharaoh is so important that I'm not allowed to stand within 2 meters of him. So, Pharaoh, if you could go and speak into that microphone over there. Hopefully I can still be seen if I stand here. Great. So, Pharaoh, first of all, can you tell me, why you won't let the people go?
Good morning. The fact is, I am ruler over the whole of Egypt. And these Israelites are my slaves. If I let them go, they won't come back. And then what does that say about me? It makes me look weak. I'm not in control, and I can't be having that.
Okay, I understand. Some people are saying that you have a hard heart. What does that mean?
It means I have a strong heart. That I'm stubborn, that I will not be persuaded to do things that I don't want to do. I think that's right. I won't be challenged by these puny little Israelites. I'm Pharaoh.
Okay, thank you, Pharaoh. I can see that you think quite highly of yourself, but hasn't Moses promised another plague?
Yes, he has. He said that a hailstorm was going to come, but I don't think it will.
Are you sure? I can see some hailstones on the horizon. I think we'd better take cover. I can see oh, goodness me! Oh, wow! These are the biggest hailstones and the bounciest hailstones I've ever seen.
This time, I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. I need to go and talk to Moses.
Okay, careful of the hailstones, Pharaoh. Wow, what a turnaround. Pharaoh's got a really hard heart. He won't let the people go. He won't admit that the Lord is the true God, but it looks like he's just changed and... Oh, hang on. Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah, I've just heard that Pharaoh hardened his heart again. He went to Moses and he was about to let the people go, but the last minute, he hardened his heart and he didn't want to. Oh, dear. But now that I look at Pharaoh and his actions, I can see them in myself, too. He's not just a pantomime villain. He reflects something that's in every human heart. I see that sometimes I too have a hard heart and I refuse to listen to God. When God tells me it is wrong to disobey the government and I would really like to break the COVID restrictions, I harden my heart. When God tells me it is wrong to look at what other people have and envy them, feeling jealous, I have a hard heart and I refuse to say sorry. When I know that something I do is wrong and makes God angry, but I really want to do it, I harden my heart, I shut out God's voice and do it anyway. And I often do what Pharaoh does. I say sorry to God. I admit that I have sinned. But when everything gets better, I go and harden my heart all over again. I wonder whether you feel that you do the same thing sometimes. Well, we have disobeyed God just as Pharaoh and the Egyptians did. And God was so angry with the Egyptians that he sent the plagues on them. And we deserve to have that judgment come upon us because we have hard hearts just the same. So what we need to do is to come to God and say sorry and ask for his help to give us clean, soft hearts. First headline from the news here in Egypt, worship the one true God. Second headline, say sorry for our hard hearts.
But another reading from Exodus. This is from chapter 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead."
You join me on quite a sad day in Egypt as we awoke to the sounds of wailing and crying in the streets. I walked down Sphinx Street this morning and every household was stained with blood. Some literally, as for some reason the Israelites were seen painting blood on the doors of their houses, and some figuratively because overnight every firstborn son in every Egyptian household died. We can see the bodies of them being carried out onto the streets. Now, there he is right there. Karim, age 12, died in the night. Abdul, age 6, died too. And Rawad has died as well. He was only 3. No matter how old they were, the firstborn sons of each Egyptian family died as God's angel came and struck the Egyptians. But for the people of Israel, there was some good news. So I'm going to talk to Shifra, an Israelite. Shifra, am I right that your son didn't die in the night?
Yes, that's right. Moses, our leader, came and said that we would be protected if we followed some instructions.
And what were those instructions?
Well, we had to take a lamb, a perfect lamb, and kill it. And after we'd eaten its meat, well, we had to dip a branch in the lamb's blood and sort of paint our doors with it.
Oh, that sounds really strange. Did you do it?
Did I do it? Of course I did. I trust God. And I wanted to save my son. It was a choice between the lamb dying and my little boy dying. Well, I had to choose the lamb. And it worked. I woke up this morning and my son is still alive. Anyway, I've got to go because we're escaping from Egypt. Pharaoh's letting us go.
Really? Well, that's amazing. Well, thank you for talking to us. I hope you have a safe journey. But before you go, from your perspective, can you tell us why you think God sent all these plagues on Egypt?
Yes, of course. Well, at first it might have looked like God was, well, just angry at the Egyptians and the plagues were his judgment. But actually, we kept seeing moments where the people of Israel, God's people, were protected. No flies came on our land. Our animals didn't die. The hail didn't fall on us. When it went dark all over Egypt, the only place where there was light was where we lived. Though we deserve God's judgment too, he gave us a way to be protected from the death of the firstborn, his ultimate protection. The lamb died instead of us. And so it's not just God's judgment, it's God's rescue mission.
God's rescue mission? Sorry. Wow, that's really interesting. Thank you, Shifra. Do go and sit down. I hope you have a good journey out of Egypt. God's rescue mission. Wow, I can see that, because God's people were in slavery and he showed the Egyptians that he was the one true God. He punished them for their hard hearts. But the ultimate aim was to rescue the Israelites. Just picture it, being an Israelite on that night. Imagine what it felt like. God had promised a great rescue from Egypt, and you were waiting and waiting for it to come. And then you heard the news of something really scary happening that night. You go and talk to the neighbours. Is it true? Is the angel of death coming tonight? What are we going to do? Before, God protected us. We didn't have to do anything. But now there's real danger. Our sons might die. Well, Moses has told us if we put this blood on the doorposts, our children will be saved. It's a swap. The lamb will die instead of our sons. Well, let's do that quick. Got to put the blood on the doorposts to protect our sons. And if we do that, God will pass over our house and the angel of death won't come. Imagine that. What an amazing rescue. And, oh, hang on. Hang on, someone from the studio is talking to me. Just a minute. Yeah? Oh, really? Okay. Apparently, this happened again. We got some breaking news. Apparently, this rescue points forward to another rescue. Because when Jesus came, thousands of years later, he was called the Lamb of God. At the time when the people traditionally remembered the escape from Egypt, the death of the lamb, Jesus gave his disciples bread and wine and said, "This is my body and my blood given for you," just like the lamb's body and blood were given for the rescue of the Israelites. Jesus was the new lamb. He died so that his people, who are marked with his blood, can live. Because for us in 2021 in Huntingdon, we don't need rescuing from Egypt, but we still have hard hearts and God is still angry with us. So just like Egypt, we're in real danger. But we don't need to kill a lamb to protect ourselves. What we need is Jesus, the true Passover lamb. And sorry, can we remove the pyramids? Because I'm not really bringing us a news report. I actually just want to say something to us at Christchurch Huntingdon this morning. This all happened. It really did happen. It's not made up. It happened a long time ago. Let me stop pretending to do the news. It's more than a story. And it means something for us. I think what we need to do is to be grateful for God's rescue. God offers us a rescue from death and from slavery to sin. And what we need is to accept the blood of Jesus as our rescue. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. We don't need to paint his blood on the doorposts, but we need to say, "Jesus has died for me. I don't need to face God's judgment anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm convinced that this is the one true God, and that I, like Pharaoh, have sinned against him by not living life his way and hardening my heart. And I'm so, so grateful that he has provided a rescue, the new Passover lamb, Jesus. So I'm confidently going to hide under his blood and know that I have been fully forgiven. If you're hearing this for the first time this morning, or it's sinking in for the first time, I hope you're amazed by it. And if you've heard it hundreds and hundreds of times before, I hope you're able to see it with fresh eyes today. Can I ask that you don't think, oh, it's old news, I've heard it before. This is why we've gone back to Egypt today, to see the one true God, our hard hearts, and his great rescue. I think we can sometimes forget how big God is, how serious our sin is, and how amazing his rescue is. That's why he's given us the story of the plagues, which really did happen. As I said, they're not made up. So that we can see he is the one true God, more powerful than Egypt and the Egyptian gods. And so that we can see that hardening our hearts and turning against him is a big problem. And what a wonderful rescue he has done through Jesus. That's what struck me. I can easily forget how amazing God is, how serious my sin is, and how great his rescue is. But in the plagues, it's like these things are written in massive print. We can't miss them. Worship the one true God. Say sorry for our hard hearts. Thank God for his rescue through the Lamb. Let me pray to close. Heavenly Father, we're sorry for when we have been like Pharaoh and when we have hardened our hearts against you, when we have refused to listen and kept going our own way despite how many times we recognize our sin. Please forgive us. Please help us to have a bigger view of you as God, as the one who is active in the world, as powerful today as you were when you sent all the plagues on Egypt. And we thank you that despite our sin, despite our hard hearts, you've given us Jesus, the Passover lamb, sacrificed for us, and that we, marked with his blood, can be forgiven and can be rescued from death, that your anger fell on him instead of us. Please help us to remember this as we go into our weeks, to cling to these truths, whatever age we are, however many times we've heard it before. Please write it on our hearts and help us to see your goodness. Amen.